It's the Deseret News Rising Shot Podcast, episode 322, and I'm your host, Adam Mangum. The spring game is behind us, and Matt and I take the opportunity to recap the big spring football storylines and to predict the future. Who will the quarterback be? Will BYU win more than six games in 2018? Also on the show, hot dogs are not sandwiches, and our quick NBA playoff predictions. This is the Deseret News Rising Shot Podcast. You can find this and other great shows at DeseretNews.com/podcast. You can follow us on Instagram at BYU_RiseShout, and you can listen to us right now. Matt, we dove straight into a big, big controversy. Do you know what that controversy is, my friend?
It's spiraled out of control.
Yeah. It certainly has. It has spiraled out of control. Matt, is a hot dog a sandwich?
This controversy has spilled into my home life.
Have you changed your mind?
No.
So you still think a hot dog is a sandwich?
It's a sandwich.
Oh, you're so dumb.
Define sandwich.
Define sandwich? I've already defined sandwich on this show last week. It's what you'd find on a sandwich menu.
No.
We have visual evidence.
That's like a definition where the definition is in the definition. That doesn't even make any sense.
Okay, if you walked into a restaurant. Okay, never mind. We're going to get to this. We're going to get to this. Because we got to go straight away to the tweet bag.
Tweet bag.
All right. Todd says this, at ToddAndD on Twitter says this. Sorry, but in no way is a hot dog a sandwich. It's in the sausage category. You wouldn't call a brat a sandwich, right? Once at a Packer game, I had a hot dog wrapped in a brat wrapped in bacon. That sounds like Wisconsin.
That sounds delicious.
Once you drive into Wisconsin, the food pyramid becomes inverted. I'm just telling you right now. It's all cheese and meat in Wisconsin. It's awesome. Definitely not a sandwich, he says. Hashtag Wisconsin rules. When it comes to food, Wisconsin actually does kind of rule.
Yeah, Wisconsin actually does well in food.
So, Matt, would you call a brat a sandwich?
Is it served on a bun?
That is not the definition of a sandwich. The definition of a sandwich is two pieces of bread. Technically, a bun seems like one piece of bread.
But if you put a slice of ham and cheese inside a bun, would you call that a sandwich?
I'd call it a hot dog bun. Which,
right, of course.
So what's your response to you're just going to dismiss long-time listener Todd?
I'm not going to dismiss him because this sounds delicious, but I am going to disagree with him. It's still a sandwich.
We'll get to it.
It's a sandwich.
There's more evidence coming. Well, we had a long discussion.
This question has ruined my marriage, by the way. I'm just going to throw that out there for everybody. Because I discovered yesterday where my wife stands on the hot dog sandwich issue.
So wait a second. Your wife is on the right side. She believes it's not a sandwich.
My wife does not want to classify a hot dog as a sandwich.
Well, of course she doesn't, because it's dumb to classify it as a sandwich. It doesn't make any practical sense. But
it makes all sorts of sense. The case is clear.
Let's give you some allies, okay? In the form of Justin Sweeney.
Sweeney.
That's at Justin D. Sweeney on Twitter, which, by the way, he'll appear later as our first ever Instagram question.
Oh, way to go.
More legal analysis regarding the sandwich. He links to a Mental Floss article. Hint, it's usually a much more expansive view than Adam has taken. Well, I don't, whatever. In California, the best state in the union, he says, which is certifiably false.
Yeah, right? See, I can't join with him until the next part of his.
A hot dog is legally a sandwich and taxed like one. And by the way, California is not the only state that classifies a hot dog as a sandwich. That is
also.
Yeah,
I think I criticized that too quickly. Obviously,
New York State. Here's what I say. Why are states classifying anything as a sandwich? It's taxation purchases, right?
Yeah.
In New York, by the way, a burrito is also a sandwich. You're going to stick up for that? Is a burrito a sandwich?
A burrito is not a sandwich. Sorry, New York.
Yeah, so...
A burrito is not a sandwich.
Well, that's what New York says.
And neither is a wrap. A wrap is not a sandwich. I can differentiate that.
Oh, you're going to say a wrap is not a sandwich, but a hot dog is? You're nuts.
A wrap isn't a sandwich.
All right, all right. We'll come back to that. Kevin Wood on Twitter, @Pike_Wood, says this. Muertos in Bakersfield has burgers and sandwiches together, hot dogs on their own. I tend to agree, even though they're all sandwiches, technically. Tomatoes and bell peppers are technically fruits, but nobody would call them that. And Don, our brother, adds, intelligence is when you know that tomatoes and peppers are fruits. Wisdom is when you don't put them in a fruit salad. So, Matt, that's where I stand with Kevin. I get that legally and technically, you guys might be right with your dumb hot dog is a sandwich thing. I'm saying in a practical life situation, if somebody came to your house and said, I would like a sandwich, and you hand them a hot dog, they're going to look at you like you're freaking nuts. Okay? That.
But you just agreed that technically a hot dog is a sandwich.
Yes, by the legal definitions of a couple of terrible states, California and New York.
And the United States Supreme Court.
No, no. Ginsburg popping off on Colbert is not a decision by the United States Supreme Court. We already covered this last week.
It's as close as we're going to get on this issue.
No, it's not. No, it's not. All right.
Until somebody takes one of these tax laws to court, but I doubt they're going to make it.
So one more person weighs in here. Hector Lives, that's @Naletto, Nick Aletto on Twitter. He says, I don't know if you guys even know each other. He was saying some KSL show. They've had this same debate. By the way, people have been having this debate for decades. We're not new to the debate at all. But he says, is a hot dog a sandwich? Is a burrito a sandwich? He says, Nick says, neither is a sandwich. Nick, you are correct.
Listen, a burrito is clearly not a sandwich.
Well, New York says it's a sandwich by your stupid definition of legally.
No, listen, I'm going to look up the origin of hot dogs. Right? And I bet you that it will be related to the origin of what we know today as a sandwich.
No, it isn't.
But a burrito wouldn't be the same.
I already looked it up. And Todd alluded to this already. It's a sausage. Right?
But when did they put it in bread?
Not until after they had sausages.
People have been eating meat for at least hundreds of years. What is this, a center for ants? People have been eating meat for hundreds of years. So,
all right, we're like how far into this? We're 7 minutes in. We got to keep moving.
Say people have been eating meat for
for
at least 200 years.
For at least 175 years, they have eaten meat. Before that, no, it's mainly beans and fruit.
Before that, it's not quite clear.
All right, so Sweeney has another question for us. Okay, and we'll get back to this at the end, but he says, which is scarier, the new movie A Quiet Place or the tweet bag? Hashtag Scary Whispers, hashtag tweet bag. Matt, you brought back the Scary Whispers last week. People don't like it.
I don't know what got into me, and I apologize.
Matt, are you interested in seeing A Quiet Place?
Extremely.
Oh my gosh, it looks so freaking good and scary.
This is an occasion where I wish you and I lived closer together, because my wife wants nothing to do with it.
My wife, zero. Like, she saw a commercial for it, and she said, like, it's her, not her greatest nightmare, but she was like, you can't make any noise or the creatures kill you. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. That's the idea. Sounds fascinating to me. She did not think it was as fascinating. Well, Matt, we'll come back to movies here towards the end of the show, but let's go right into the CougarFan.com, Cougars in the News.
Cougars in the News!
You can get all of your BYU sports news at CougarFan.com. Matt, volleyball swept Pepperdine and then got swept by UCLA last week. But in the end, they just needed to win one of those matches by beating Pepperdine. They won the regular season MSPF conference title and guaranteed themselves the first seed in the tournament. And they get to host the thing, which is great. So they will play in Provo on April 19th against the lowest remaining seed in the semifinals, I believe, if I'm remembering my bracket right. And Sander was named the off-the-block player of the month. Had a heck of a month, so congratulations to him. And then the men and women's track team, it says in the agenda here, the TAC team. It's the track team, Matt. I don't want you to be confused.
The agenda's riddled with typos tonight.
Yeah, well, you know, I was doing it in a hurry, all right? I've been busy. Anyway, they both finished second in the Pepsi Invitational. Matt, I have an issue with the name of the event.
Oh, here we go, because I think I'm with you on this.
Why is Pepsi the soda? Now, I get it, PepsiCo does juices and waters and all sorts of things, but it's the Pepsi Invitational. Why aren't they naming it after one of their healthy brands? Are they handing these guys like fully leaded Pepsi at the end? Nice job on your steeplechase. Here's a Pepsi.
Here's cold Pepsi, yeah, a cold carbonated beverage.
Yes. Welcome,
this is going
to
hurt.
Welcome back to 1959.
I see you just finished the 4x100 relay. Why don't you see how quickly you can drink one of these bad boys?
How about a Mountain Dew for you? Extreme athletes.
I'd do a Mountain Dew at least. Well, but a Pepsi? A cola?
A cola? Hey, you know what's also many consider a cola, but technically it's not?
Oh, here we go.
A Dr. Pepper.
Is Dr. Pepper a cola?
It could not be classified as a cola because Pepsi and Coke refused to let it be one. They challenged it in court years and years ago. Look it up. Matt, you should definitely check out our other podcast, which is Bleep the Podcast. We did an episode with Batman. So check it out at bleepthepodcast.podbean.com. And you can find out about who I think is the best Batman ever, who you think the best Batman ever, and who our brother Sam thinks is the best Batman ever. And we also talk about the worst Batman and everybody in between. It's really a good show, endorsed by Todd.
And this episode of Bleep the Podcast has an actual bleep.
Yes. Yes, it does. And you and I making really cheesy jokes where we pretend swear with the word bleep.
Yes.
So it's highly entertaining. All right, Matt. I thought we might have the biggest story of the day, and it turned out to not be a story. Earlier today, it was reported by ESPN 960 and VanquishTheFoe.com that BYU was officially going to Royal Blue, going back to the Royal Blue. I was ready to do a dance. I was ready to be excited. Those stories have since been retracted. So,
Boo. So
we did get one tweet bag question on this. And if you want to join the tweet bag, by the way, you can do it in several different ways. You can do it via Twitter at @BYU_RiseShout, via Facebook at facebook.com/RiseAndShout, on the good old fashioned email at riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. That's one word. And then now on Instagram. And that's BYU_RiseShout on Instagram. So the Vitman, @TheVitman1 on Twitter, says, looks like we are back to Royal Blue. Where do you guys stand? I'm a Navy guy myself with a Royal alternate on occasion. I think the Royal fan kit looks a bit clownish. #PleaseNoTan. #NoBibs. #KeepItClassy. Matt, you and I are, you know, we love the Royal Blue.
I'm all in on the Royal Blue.
Now,
all in.
If we're going to keep with the Navy, I like doing the Royal Blue a couple times a year, if we're going to keep with the Navy Blue. So
yeah, like all the home games.
And the road games.
Oh, yeah, you can do the road games, too. That'd be fine. Yeah,
that'd be fine. All right, Matt, so let's talk about the spring game. We're only like 20 minutes into this podcast, and we're finally talking about BYU football. So Tim Jacobson was there, and via email, he sent us some observations. I'm not going to read his whole email. I thought it was very insightful. He was there with his 12-year-old daughter, and they watched the game in the rain, and that shows some dedication. Okay. By the way, one of my favorite things about Twitter is BYU fans pointing out how much U of U fans are obsessed with BYU football. There were a couple of Ute fans tweeting from the game live pictures and videos.
Which is insane.
So I would never go to the U of U spring game. Don't care enough to go. The second piece is, I definitely would not go if it was cold and rainy.
Yeah, that's insane.
I could live a block away from the stadium, which, by the way, I never would. But I could. Anyway, Tim says a couple of things that we'll get to later, but if I'm betting on the little I saw, he said, he's assuming Tanner starts. He thinks Critchlow has a slight edge for the second string and Hodge for the third. He's not the only person to think that based on Critchlow's performance. Wilson has a good chance of running the scout team this year, which would be great for him, Tim says. He had big questions about the defense. And then he gives us a PS. What does that stand for? A postscript?
Isn't that what I believe that is what that stands for.
It says, Mo Longy is a giant. He absolutely dwarfs Butch and Pulsifer, okay? We would look small next to those guys, right? At least width-wise. Corbin has him on the height, but Mo is 3 to 4 times his girth. So, you know, I have not seen Mo Longy up close, so.
Well, and he's apparently had lost some weight. And still
yes,
is huge.
Yes, and still is the biggest guy around. So, Matt, let's get to Critchlow. He plays well, 9 for 12, 130 yards, a touchdown, and a really nice one-handed grab by Micah Simon that, you know, I was able to see the highlights of. Matt, what's your takeaway from Critchlow's performances, at least by the press and people that I trust that were in the stands, including Tim? Critchlow was the best quarterback on Saturday.
Which is fascinating, because going into this, if you would ask me to rank him, which I believe that you did, I did not have Critchlow edging anybody out.
You had him fourth.
Mm-hmm. And so I was thinking that that Hodge was going to be the clear front runner at this point, but clearly that is not the case. According to these observations.
Well, and it's one game, right? One scrimmage, I should say. So
the thing that I'm fascinated on is, I think it was on BYU Sports Nation, maybe today or yesterday, that Satake said something to the effect of, we've got a pretty good idea of who the quarterback is going to be. And
I interpreted that a little differently, like they had a pretty good idea that they knew who was going to be in the competition. Did he say just quarterback, singular?
Maybe I should go back and listen to it again, because I took that as they had kind of started to narrow it down, and I thought, well, that's bad news for Tanner. Because he hasn't been going full speed.
Yeah, but he's been on sevens.
Yeah, but can Grimes make a decision on that level of information when he's been having the other quarterbacks get hit in practice?
Here's the thing. I think Jeff Call, by the way, Jeff Call has done an amazing job, and it's not just because we're a Deseret News deal and he's a Deseret News guy. He has pumped out so much content this week from the spring game. Right, he had his observation articles that you should all check out for sure. His 10 observations from spring practice, from spring all throughout. I mean, he was more inclusive, just pumping stuff out. But he basically said, and this was, I think, yesterday or the day before, he said that there's, you know, and this is before Satake went on BYU Sports Nation, right? But he basically said they've narrowed down the field. Is what Grimes had said. So I don't know what that means, Matt. I don't know what that means, because they've narrowed it down from what? That you know, some of these guys like Stacey Connor, who barely played in the spring game, aren't really legit contenders for next year? Well, we already knew that, right? Like, so are you buying or selling Grimes' comment that they've narrowed down the field? Or is that just coach speak for, you know, we're looking at it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, if you go into some of these quotes that that Jeff Call provides, you know, you look at, there was one in here that I thought was pretty interesting. Was Grimes says, "I'm so busy calling play sometimes, I'm not sure which quarterback is even in the game until they do something silly," indicating
great,
you know, also that he's got a lot of film to go back and watch. Right.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I don't know if that's he's just trying to deflect the question. You know, I. They've at least whittled this down to 2-3 guys? I mean,
maybe. I don't know. They didn't give a number. Like, Grimes' quote does not give specifics, right? Which, he seems like he's pretty media savvy. I don't think he's going to give specifics unless he really wants to, right? Like, I don't think he's going to slip up.
Well, and there's zero advantage for them to actually make that decision at this point.
Or to tell anybody. Right. And besides the players, they may, like, for example, if number one, I don't think it's true, because I think if Critchlow was no way he's going to get a chance, I don't think he plays as much as he did. Right. So but if somebody really had no shot, and I mean, especially Mangum, I think they would go. I believe that Satake as head coach would go to the guy and go, you know what, you're already out of this, right? So if your hypothesis, which I know you're not like staking your opinion on, your reputation on, but if Mangum really is out, I think Satake sits him down in the next few weeks and says, Tanner, you're not. We're not considering you for the starting role. You can stick around and give it a shot, but if you want to transfer to an FCS or try to find an FBS school to transfer to, knock yourself out. You know what I mean? Anyway, we'll see. We'll see. We'll get back to that here in a second. Micah Simon has a good game. 4 catches for 73 yards, a touchdown, and that one-handed catch I talked about. Zach Gatoa, 17 carries for 86 yards, according to Jeff Call. Squally Canada had, what, 3 touchdowns, I think? All on short yardage situations. Something. Matt, does anything that happened with the running backs, Squally Canada and Gatoa, change your opinion about what we might see in the fall, or do you still think both those guys are going to get a bunch of carries?
I think it's down to those two guys. I think we've had some conversation around you. What is this situation going to look like?
Yeah, I think it's those two guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
O-line was physical again, and that's good to hear. Matt, big deal or no deal that Grimes calls the game from the press box? Do you care?
I do care, and I prefer that he does.
I don't care. There are good offensive coordinators who do it both ways. He just has to find what works for him. I would, if I were calling plays, want to do it from the press box because I think you just get a way better view of what's going on in the field and can divorce yourself from the emotions of the sideline. But either way, right? I mean, Josh McDaniels calls it from the sideline. Patriots seem to do all right. Right? Didn't Chip Kelly call from the sideline, didn't he? Because he called all their plays at Oregon.
Yeah, but I think that the default should be call it from the booth. And yeah, then sure. If you get that's to fine. A place where calling it from the field makes sense, that's where you go.
Matt Gunwalaku returned the opening kickoff to the 13-yard line. Not our 13-yard line, the opposite one. What? They can still do that?
Is this going to happen? Is it going to happen this year?
All I can say is this. I have felt like over the last couple of years, we have not put the best players on kick returning duties, right? Whether that's punt or kickoffs. Now, maybe that's just to avoid injuries because we don't think we're deep enough. But, man, I think we left a lot of yards on the field, especially last year when our offense was so bad. We could have really used a few really good things. So, if Gunwalaku, Warner, whoever else, I want to see the best athletes that we have returning kicks. Right? Everybody else does it.
Oh, yeah. That's what you want.
Most of the starters did not play, Matt. That's kind of like last year. Doesn't this make this whole game hard to evaluate, this whole scrimmage? When the offense isn't playing against the first-team defense and the defense is getting pushed around, but it's not the guys who are actually going to play next fall.
Yeah, it's hard to really get too deep into that, right? Because what do you really know?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and that's the problem with something like this. Though, throughout camp and then in this game, Devin Kafusi, who's, of course, the younger brother of both Corbin and Bronson Kafusi, he looked good, so we could have another Kafusi as a force on the D-line. And discipline, Matt, is the word of the day. Friend of the podcast, Jay Drew, wrote a really good piece about how basically that's all any of the offensive players can talk about is discipline. Anytime they're interviewed, what's the difference between last year and this year? It's discipline, focus, and precision. And that's a good thing, right?
Well, yeah, if you look at even on Critchlow, the quote from Critchlow and Jay Drew calls about to see what we can do. How often are we going to meet together in the player-led meetings and practices, and how are we really going to get together and look at the film?
Yeah.
And then this same stuff here that Jay Drew talks about this whole shift in mindset and how these players are approaching what they're trying to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's great. I think it's really great. So another cool Jeff Call article this week was about new coach Preston Hadley, who, of course, played at BYU, and I just wanted to read this quote because I thought it was awesome. Matt, it's a cool article, but nothing news-breaking here. He said he was asked if, you know, he talked about his experience as a player to his current players, and he said, "I find myself referring back to it a lot, not like an Uncle Rico type of way, but more just pointing out what I would have done differently or what I found that helped me." Matt, I absolutely love that we have a BYU football coach making an Uncle Rico reference.
I can throw the ball in the mountains.
That's right, you can.
Coach would put me in, we would have won state.
That's right. That's right. Preston Hadley's could throw the ball over those mountains. So, Matt, fall camp starts on August 3rd, so you and I are going to be talking a lot without any new news, but we'll still talk.
Oh, yeah, because we're obsessed. That's what we do.
That's what we do. But let's play a little game. You ready to play a game?
Let's play some games.
Would you like to play a game? Spring camp, love it, leave it, or don't know yet. Okay?
Are you ready? That's a lot of options. Hold on, I'm going to need to write this down.
Love it, leave it, or don't know yet. There's three options.
Oh, all right. I got you. And I'm just going to write them down. Love it.
Oh, boy.
Leave it, or don't know yet. Okay.
All right, here we go. First one.
And I'm writing this on a Band-Aid wrapper, because that's what I had available.
All right, that's very, very specific. All right. Matt, Joe Critchlow. Love it, leave it, don't know yet. Joe Critchlow has a legitimate shot to be the starting quarterback against Arizona.
Love it. He got a lot of reps. The coaches seem to like him, and he seems to have bought into what they're doing.
Leave it. I'm going to leave it still.
Even with feedback we're getting from people who that it's Tanner, Critchlow, Hodge, 1, 2, 3.
Nobody talked about Critchlow all spring till this scrimmage. None of the buzz was around Critchlow. It was all about Zach Wilson and Bo Hodge and Tanner's recovery. Now, maybe that was just bad buzz, right? Like, maybe we just missed something. The reporters missed it. You know, people around the team missed it. I think Critchlow had a nice spring game. That's great. I'll be very, very, very surprised if Critchlow is the starting quarterback unless there's an injury to Hodge or Mangum. Now, maybe we got too excited about Zach Wilson. Maybe. I don't know. If we did the same game, so I'll throw it in here. What about Zach Wilson has a legitimate shot at the starting QB? Love it, leave it, or don't know yet?
Leave it.
I am going to still say love it, but it's waning. All right, Matt.
Wait a minute. You're going to love that, but you're going to leave Critchlow?
Yeah. Wilson, nobody could stop talking about Wilson all spring. Reporters couldn't stop talking about him. Coaches couldn't stop talking about him. I just think there's something
there. You're out of
there.
Your gourd.
You're out of your gourd. Matt, love it, leave it, or don't know yet. The offense will be a top 40 unit nationally, and I mean that in advanced statistics. Top 40. So basically, we're looking at, you know, a doctor and I type of ranking.
Love it.
I love it. I think there will be a top 40 unit. I think they could be a top 30 unit with Grimes calling the show. I am super high on Jeff Grimes. That sounds weird.
Yeah, if you would have just drove right through the sentence there, instead you would have been okay, but you had this weird pause.
Yeah, that was a weird pause. Anyway, all right, Matt, the next one is love it, leave it, or don't know yet. The defense is something to be concerned about.
The defense is something to be concerned about.
So you're loving
if you're an opposing offense.
Oh, what? So you're leaving it.
Yeah, I'm leaving it. I think they're going to be okay.
I'm going to take the cop out and do I don't know yet. And the only reason I say that is we didn't see them, right? In the spring, there was a lot of injuries. I'm hopeful with all these position changes that they are getting the best 11 guys on the field, but we'll see. Matt.
I know who a lot of these guys are.
Yeah, that's true. You know, that's true.
So.
That's true. That's true. Love it, leave it, or don't know yet. The offensive line will be awesome and ferocious.
Don't know yet. That's just that's love all talk. It. No, we've been saying this for years. We thought 2J was going to change the O-line culture. Blah, blah, blah. Jen and I watched the other day. So I watched. I've been watching a bunch of old BYU football games the past few days.
Okay.
And so I've watched games from the mid '90s. I watched a couple games from 2000 and 2001.
Okay.
On those teams, there were big, mean, nasty offensive lines.
Yes, there were.
I haven't seen an offensive line like those offensive lines at BYU in years.
Like the John Tate era.
Yes, where you'd have some. I mean, but you look at that line, right? Like they did put a handful of those guys in the NFL, and that's overall. By the way, those teams in those time periods put a bunch of guys into the NFL.
Yeah, well, and think about it for a second. Those offenses that you're talking about were amazingly good. There's this was also true, you know, early Bronco Mendenhall. That is not an accident, right? Like that you had these nasty good offensive lines and a really good offense, right? There's a correlation there, causation even.
And I think there were a couple things that I think depth has been an issue in building that. I think that finding an offensive identity has been a problem. And so because that plays into the type of guys, you know, the type of linemen you're trying to recruit.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think there's been some flashes of that. There's been some guys who've come through that I've really been impressed with. But like to really gel like that as a unit, it's apparently a little bit more rare. And I think maybe we were spoiled for several years.
Well, and I think you're right. We've been saying that this unit is going to be amazing, and it just each year we get decent play. I mean, I think they've been okay. I think they were okay last year, but they weren't great. They weren't what we thought they would be. Especially,
I want them to be feared.
Especially with a couple guys, Tooney Kanuch and Karoma among them, who will probably get a shot at the next level, right? So, anyway. Matt, love it, leave it, or don't know yet. Matt Nadam will be cheering for a team with 6 or more wins when the Cougars play UMass in Gillette Stadium on Saturday, November 10th. And we have a plan, you and I, to be at that game. Don't know yet, don't have tickets or any of that. But Matt, love it, leave it, or don't know yet. Or do we need to go game by game and see if you get to 6 wins before we get there?
Yeah, I'm leaving it. We can go game by game if you want.
Arizona, what, win or a loss?
It's a loss.
You're a terrible human being. That's a win. Cal, win or a loss?
It's a win. This isn't going well.
It's a win. You're going to go 0-2.
I'm going 0-3. Why don't I just go ahead and go 0-3 while we're at it?
0-3, you're right. All right, I'm at 2-1. McNeese State.
It's a win.
So we're now going to be 1-3 at that point. Thanks, Mr. Sunshine.
There's some tough road games
that's
here.
That's a loss.
Yeah, that's a loss. That's a tough loss.
All right, so by your account, we're still at 1 win. Utah State in Provo, that's a win.
That's a win.
All right, you're at 2 wins. Hawaii in Provo, that's a win.
That's a win.
3. Northern Illinois in Provo.
It's a win.
You're up to 4. Boise on the road. You're not going to give us that one.
I'm taking the Cougs, actually, here.
Oh, so you think we get up to 5. We're close. I think we'll be at 6, possibly outside shot at 7. But I'm really optimistic right now because it's spring. And I've already shoveled 6 inches of snow off my driveway this winter, and there's another storm coming this weekend. Another 3 to 5 inches.
Well, that sounds delicious. You know, I think that after the Washington game, I'm going to throw out a bold prediction. Crazy bold prediction.
All right, throw it out. Let's do it. Crazy and bold.
The Cougs won't lose a game in October or November.
So they go undefeated going into the bowl games.
Yep.
So they start the season 1-3.
1-3 and then win out.
They'll be ranked if they do that.
Yeah, I think a couple things happen that play in their favor here, right? The schedule changes a little bit as you get deeper. You'll have more experience running the offense. And more time for the coaching staff to kind of put some stuff together. So I think that that part of the schedule and time work in their favor.
I just think,
who's the Debbie Downer now?
I think it's a tall order to ask to expect the Cougars to win in Boise and in Salt Lake. Maybe they split those games, but that's pretty tough. But you said it was a bold prediction.
Well, and those games are also 2 months apart. A month apart, whatever. Six weeks apart.
Anyway, okay, so...
But they're not even 6 weeks apart. Like
I'm saying
apart.
Love it. You're saying leave it. All right, Matt, it's the off season now, officially, which is kind of depressing because there's no more spring football. But CougFan82, that's at CougFan82 on Twitter, asks us this. Now that spring ball is over, what are some ideas for killing time until fall camp? Also, I was thinking of podcast topics to help you during the lull. How about a favorite show podcast where listeners send in memories of you guys' favorite shows or topics from the past? For me, the Listening to Yourselves at Different Speeds podcast was an all-time classic. That is an all-time classic.
That was a good one. That was a good bit.
I think in the last few weeks, we've added two new classics in the Boston accent episode and the British accent episode.
So, earlier today, I demonstrated the British accent here in the house. And
how'd that go?
The two-year-old was not a fan. And my wife just assumed I was kidding that I had actually talked like that on the podcast. You didn't really do that.
What's the two-year-old have to do with thing? He doesn't know British accents. What is he watching, Peppa Pig?
No, actually, he does watch Peppa Pig, but it freaked him out, is what I'm saying. It freaked him out. He was like, stop that.
My now she's 3.5, but when she was 1.5 or maybe 2 and I did my Yoda voice, she was not a fan. Freaked her out as well. Which, you know, your British accent is kind of like Yoda.
I don't even know what to do with what you just said.
So anyway, he says hashtag.
I'd love to. This is a great idea for a show, but I think we've just run the gamut of all the shows people enjoy.
No.
Those three episodes.
Here's the thing. Here's what I'm going to ask the listeners to do. Send us in via Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, email, whatever.
Text message for those of you who prefer.
I have yet to give out your phone number, but I can if you want.
Well, I received a TweetBag question via text once.
So did I, from my friend Seth Lewis.
All right, I'm just throwing it out there.
All right, so here's the thing. Every summer, we basically plead with you guys to give us topics. Things like, you know, we've done best season rankings. We've done best QB rankings. We could do some of those topics again because they're, you know, you can go back and your opinions change or whatever. But if you have any like evergreen type of topics that you would like us to hit, send it to us. And if you have
What?
I don't know. You started talking. You interrupted me.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
I'm just sitting here.
You're such a dork. Hashtag Matt's a dork. Anyway.
Hashtag, did anybody else hear me say anything? I think you're hearing things, because I did not.
We'll go back to the tape. We'll go back to the tape on that one.
Good thing this is being recorded, you fool.
That's right. If there is interest in this favorites episode, we would need a lot of participation from you guys. And I would probably sick our brother Sam on going back and getting a bunch of clips from those episodes.
At various speeds.
At various speeds, indeed. By the way, CougFan82, Rachel Mullen, that's at TrueBlueY on Twitter, she says getting back to that diet and workout routine. That's what you can do, CougFan82. I watch baseball is what I do, but I realize not all of us watch baseball.
Yeah, but see, the thing is we've been asked this question several times at this same point of year, and our answer is always baseball.
That's right.
This is what you kill the summer with. You watch baseball.
That's right. So, Matt, Tyler Anderson, via email, has several questions for us. And the first is going to be the first ever what I'm going to call the final shout. So we're now going to put a bunch of this ridiculous stuff towards the end or some cool topic at the end. And we've got two final shouts today. both from Tyler, okay? So he says, with basketball and football season over for BYU, I've got to ask about two upcoming movies. We already gave our opinion that we want to see A Quiet Place, but he has two other movies. On a scale of Star Wars movies, which is fascinating, Matt, okay, because the scale is the Star Wars movies.
Yeah, this is gonna get confusing.
So that's Phantom Menace to Empire Strikes Back, right? Or is
it... Is it Empire Strikes Back?
Or is it Attack of the Clones to Empire Strikes Back? No, what's your favorite Star Wars movie? What do you think the best one is?
Maybe it is Empire Jedi? Strikes Back.
Empire Strikes Back, the original...
I lean Jedi, but see, I'm also like, I'm like a kid, right? I've got severe recency bias.
Right, right. Well, I'm,
so
well,
I really just like The Force Awakens.
Oh my gosh, The Force Awakens isn't the best, but I like The Force Awakens. But let's just call it Phantom. No, let's call it Attack of the Clones. Attack of the Clones is the worst. That love story between Anakin and Padme is like that. Only an 11-year-old boy would buy that love story. Which our brother Sam bought. I think he was older than that, though. Anyway.
He was older than 11.
Anyway, that's not the point. The point is, from Attack of the Clones to Empire Strikes Back, how excited are you for these two movies? The Solo, Han Solo movie, and the Infinity War movie. Let's start with Infinity War, because I'm Empire Strikes Back excited. That's easy.
Oh, I'm also Empire.
All right. Solo's a little harder, Matt. Have you seen the new trailer?
Yes.
Before the trailer, I was like Phantom Menace excited. Post-trailer, I'm
you
like...
You were Phantom Menace excited about this?
I thought it was going to be a disaster. I just thought, first time ever, I'm going to sit and watch a Star Wars movie and walk out and go... I really wish they hadn't made that. But after this latest trailer, I'm like Rogue One excited. And I loved Rogue One.
Rogue One's a good movie.
Matt, how about you? Where do you fall on the Solo movie?
I'm kind of Force Awakens excited, which is pretty good for me.
Cool. Yeah, you love The Force Awakens, which it's a good movie.
Empire Strikes Back excited, but I'm up on that end of the scale.
Yeah.
But I was already that excited about it because these other stories that they're telling out of that universe, I find very interesting.
Yeah. The Rogue One was really cool. Of these three new movies, that's my favorite. I like The Force Awakens and I like The Last Jedi, but I think Rogue One's my favorite of these new ones. Tyler says this, P.S., the Rise and Shout podcast is growing in his area. Fast Break GP, for example. Jeremy Ashton. And now his dad and him. Also, not to brag, but being a Philadelphia fan, my sports teams are off to a pretty hot start. Maybe BYU can keep it up. Well, I hope BYU can, and I hope your teams lose a lot of games.
I hope they lose all their games.
I'm just
kidding.
They
lose all the games.
I don't actually have that much against Philadelphia. I really don't. I actually like Philadelphia. The cheesesteaks are delicious.
I just don't like the Phillies.
The Bell is wonderful.
Philadelphia is a great town.
Cool town. I don't dislike the Phillies. I had a Phillies hat in high school. Do you remember that?
You had like every team hat.
I had at one point. I had 8 Major League Baseball team hats.
And then you had all the batting helmets.
I still have those batting helmets. They're in my closet in my bedroom.
You put them on sometimes. Walk around the house with them on?
I can neither confirm nor deny that that's true.
That's what I thought.
So Tyler asked us, as well as Justin Sweeney.
I'm supposed to throw a Sweeney out there?
It's been like 30 minutes since we did that.
All right, back it up.
And Justin Sweeney.
Sweeney!
About our thoughts on the NBA playoffs, Matt. So I thought... We should very quickly, high-level thoughts, because the Western Conference is kind of a mess as far as the seeding goes, so we can't actually like preview series. So we'll come back and maybe do that next week, Matt. Just give me, out of the West, who you got?
Taking the Rockets.
I think that's the safe play, and I'm also taking the Rockets.
Matt, but I'd love to pick New Orleans, right? But I can't.
Oh yeah,
I've seen them play in person.
It'd be fun. It'd be fun to take New Orleans, but it'd be dumb to take New Orleans. But it'd be fun. It'd be fun. I think I just pulled up the NCAA men's basketball standings. That will not help me in this discussion, Matt.
No, that's actually probably going to work against you in this conversation.
Yeah, Vermont is not going to make the NBA playoffs.
Villanova is not in the mix here.
All right, Matt. So, okay, we both agree on Houston coming out of the West. The East is a bit of a mess.
It is a circus.
Are you taking Tyler's 76ers? Are you taking the Raptors with the best record? Boston, I think we can all just say at this point, they may not even get out of the first round. Or are you taking, LeBron James and the Cavaliers?
I'm taking LeBron James.
I'm taking the Washington Wizards, first 8 seed ever to win an NBA title. Just kidding.
I was like, are you serious?
I'm actually taking the Raptors. But I'm
really.
But if you ask me, that's if you ask me to pick one team. If you ask me,
Raptors, that's how this works. That's how playoffs work.
But I know
is it only one team goes. You do understand that, right?
Hold on. If you ask me to take Toronto or the Field, I'm taking the Field. Does that make sense? So I don't have a high level of confidence in the Raptors. Like if you in the West, you ask me to take the Rockets or the Field, I think I'm taking the Rockets. I think the only team that can beat them in a 7-game series is Golden State. Right? I think there are probably 3 teams that could beat Toronto in a 7-game series, and it would be 4 if the Celtics were healthy. So does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. But to be honest, I don't know.
If the Celtics were fully healthy, I think I'd be picking the Celtics. And by fully healthy, I mean Hayward and Kyrie Irving. And I know all the Jazz fans are just going to go like, Jazz fans, their irrationality regarding Hayward is just, we're losing listeners right now. They're throwing their iPhones. Matt,
hey, but you know what? I'm going to go out here and I'm going to go anti Philadelphia sports teams for just a second.
No.
So excuse me,
Tyler, stop.
I'm going to throw a bone out for the Jazz fans.
Okay, what's that?
Donovan Mitchell
should be
rookie of the year controversy. I don't understand it.
Why don't you understand it?
How is somebody who was getting paid by an NBA team last year eligible to be rookie of the year?
That's just how it is.
I just don't understand the rule.
I get it.
I don't have a dog in that fight, but the rule. I think the rule is very strange.
I agree with you, but it's. I mean, in Major League Baseball, the rookie rules. Somebody can have played and have been getting. If they got a major league contract out of the draft, could have been paid by the team for 4 years.
Before. Yeah, but that's in a sport where they have an actual farm system. So that makes that one I can wrap my head around. This one where this guy wasn't on a D-League team's roster last year.
But he was
this
hurt.
Guy, well, he wasn't on anybody's roster, right?
Right.
But he didn't go to practice. He didn't do his rehab in Toledo.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Oh, like, no.
He was with the team.
I totally get it. I don't actually... I think it's weird as well. I do think, you know, that... unfortunately for Simmons, that he didn't make the rule, right? Like, that's just the way it's being classified by the NBA, that he is eligible for the award. But I agree with you. It seems a little silly. But can we just agree with the fact that, Mitchell is amazingly good? I mean...
Yeah, I think they're both very good for basketball right now because you get people like me. I don't watch basketball until the playoffs. I don't watch a lot of it until the playoffs. I did watch some this year, but you got guys like you got people talking about it. You have people talking about these two young players. You got people talking about these teams, and going into these playoffs right now is great for the NBA because there's a question mark.
Right.
You know, it's not real clear who's going to come out of the East. It's a little more clear out of the West. I think people, you know, like we've talked about, people can be a little bit more confident. But the Eastern Conference is really up for grabs. And that's for the past couple of years, I feel like, you know, we're just waiting for the inevitable final series and outcome that everybody saw coming from a mile away.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a lot more exciting. Yeah, and I think it's good for the game.
Yep. No, it's fantastic. Regardless, I mean, in the end, I think Simmons probably wins it. Just because I think he had a better statistical year. I mean, you look at his line, 16 points, 8 boards, and 8 assists a game. I mean, that's amazing. I mean, Mitchell, 21, 4, and 4, right, which is also amazing, right? So let's not, but, you know, just amazing. I think Simmons had just an amazing year, right? So
yeah.
What are you going to do? But anyway, we'll see the playoffs. But next week, yeah, I get it. I think some of the series will have already started, but it's kind of hard to pick your bracket when in the West, I don't know who's playing who, right? Like, it's kind of hard to pick your bracket, but we'll be back and talk a little bit about it. But we won't actually be on next week, Matt. That's why we had to talk about it this week, because next week we're going to take a week off.
That'll be nice. Going on holiday.
We're going on a holiday. A good old holiday. I'm going to go up to Surrey. Maybe down to Liverpool.
What are you talking about? Oh, these are places in England. Okay, I got you.
I don't actually know if Surrey is a place.
I don't know. I just know that's...
I know that Liverpool's a place because that's just my...
When I talk to my phone, that's who I talk to. Surrey.
That's Siri. but Liverpool just advanced to the semifinals of the Champions. So, there you go. Breaking news here on the podcast.
I don't know what that means. Is this a soccer thing?
Yeah, it's a soccer thing. It's European soccer.
Do you know what I watched the other night?
Yeah. No,
I watched women's soccer, a friendly USA-Mexico.
How'd that go for you?
I actually watched it.
Hey, you know, maybe the women's team can qualify for the World Cup. Was that too soon?
Yeah, it's embarrassing. The World Cup situation is embarrassing.
Have you seen those commercials where they're like, find your ancestors and then root for that team? America, have you seen those commercials?
No, this is ridiculous.
No, that's seriously. It's like, who has the World Cup? Is it Fox this year? This year? But it's basically,
I actually don't,
like,
know the answer to that.
It's basically just, like, your team USA didn't get in, but hey, if you have ancestors from, you know, Germany, root for Germany. Which, by the way, some people already do. I know people who have, like, either a second national team, you know. Do you have a second national team in soccer? I do not.
I don't.
I do enjoy Germany's style of play many years. I have. And obviously Brazil is a blast to watch, but I have no connection to either country, so it seems a little forced to become a fan, especially of Brazil. Like,
but see, the cool thing about the World Cup is, even, you know, even in years where the U.S. men's team has been in it, I can watch any of those games. Soccer being played on that level,
yeah, it doesn't matter,
is just a ton of fun to watch.
Yeah, I had a year where I was starting a new job. We moved up to Wisconsin from Indiana, and it was a year of the World Cup. And I ended up having a free couple of weeks, and there I ended up watching the World Cup like nonstop because I hadn't started a job, so I'd never watched that much of the World Cup because it's just hard when you're working, right? To catch all the matches, and especially with the time zone differences. But it was amazing. It was so much fun to watch, and like you said, soccer at that level is a blast. So, well, a couple of reminders. First of all, we now have an Instagram. Sweeney used it. He asked a question about the NBA playoffs. You can't.
Way to lead the way, Sweeney. I wouldn't want anybody else to start it off, right? It just seems right.
Well, after his opinion on the whole hot dog sandwich thing, I would have rather had someone else do it. Honestly, well, you guys and your hot dog. This is a hard line. You said it's stressing out your marriage. Like, luckily,
my kids had hot dog sandwiches for dinner tonight.
Hot dog sandwiches. See how dumb that sounds? Hot dog sandwiches for dinner?
I just described it. It sounds dumb to you for them to have that for dinner?
Which kind of sandwich would you like, kids? Grilled cheese or a hot dog?
We don't give them those kinds of options because then they can't make up their minds and it takes forever to make dinner. Just give them the hot dog sandwich and call it good.
But
I don't know what you're talking about. You're being ridiculous.
Which kind of sandwich would you like, Matt? Name your favorite sandwich. Does anyone's favorite sandwich hot dog? No. No one would list their favorite sandwich
probably.
As a hot dog.
So
no.
There's probably people out there for whom it's their favorite sandwich. It's not mine. My favorite sandwich is actually a hamburger, but that's fine.
You're ridiculous. You're ridiculous. Let's just call pizza sandwich.
Well, if you fold it, is it a sandwich?
What about open face sandwiches? Isn't pizza just a big open face sandwich? You guys are ridiculous with your definitions and your legalities and your quid pro quos and what to fours.
You agreed not an hour ago that technically we are correct and it is a sandwich
and it's irrelevant.
Case
the fact that
closed.
You're technically correct. It's irrelevant because nobody thinks of a hot dog as a sandwich. No one, except for Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
And the legislature of two of the largest states in the union. So that's
two states that I'd be fine if they left.
Oh, here we go. If you don't like it, if you want to call it a sandwich, why don't you just succeed?
Just get out of this country. You get out. You leave us to our hot dog loving sandwich hating ways. So anyway,
nobody replied to my tweet about getting together and throwing all the sandwiches into the ocean.
I chuckled
in order to protest the tax.
I chuckled.
I was like, is it?
It's too soon.
Is that joke too played out?
No, it's too soon.
I wasn't sure.
The Boston Tea Party is still very, you know, it's very raw for some people.
Apparently.
So don't joke around about that. All right, Matt. Well, this has been a show. Again, we will be off next week. We'll be back in 2 weeks. The other reminder is if you've got summer topic ideas, big things you'd like us to talk about, BYU historical stuff, crazy stuff that has nothing to do with BYU sports, send them our way via Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, or email. And go to iTunes and leave us a review. And like Tyler, tell your friends and neighbors. Because I think Gary has like increased, and the Ashtons have basically like expanded our listenership twofold, and you could too, fair listener. Just tell your friends who love BYU sports. Are you listening to the Rise and Shot podcast? If you're not, then you're an idiot. And so it is. Matt, it's been a show. You have anything to add now that I've offended all of our listeners?
Bears beats. Battlestar Galactica.
Matt, do you watch Battlestar Galactica?
No.
Then you're an idiot. All right, thanks everybody for downloading and listening, and we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars!